This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live to tape from downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland, and it is quarter after five-ish or so on another Sunday afternoon in Caps fandom. And okay, well, I'm not gonna do too good of a job hiding it, but we all saw the game last night, and trust me, I had a lot of venting done with myself, my family, and some Twitter and Facebook friends. And yeah, we got it all out of our system. So if I sound overly cheery, that may be why. But we all saw what happened and what resulted. So I'm not going to make any bones about that. But I mean, we're still Caps fans, and so that's how we need to handle it. We're still fans of the team, and we're still going to watch. So and my partner in crime in watching Caps fans is back and fully recovered, thank God, from her non-COVID illness. It is the one and only Mermaid, live from Centerville, Virginia, Anna Knox.
Yes. Hello on this gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous Sunday. I don't know, Gil, do you go outside on days like this and just embrace the gorgeous weather?
If it's good, yeah, if it's a nice day like that, yeah, I'll nice and sunny and warm, I'll go out, take a little walk. Yeah.
Yeah. Today was just feeling, I like right on the deck, and I don't know. It was good. Like you said, last night's game, it was rough, but you know what? I got an Ovi bobblehead.
How did you swing that?
Oh my God. So Stephanie, my like bestie in crime as well, her husband and son decided to purchase season ticket holders, ticket from a friend, whatever. And they're like, you know, we haven't gone all season, and we're going to splurge, and we're going to do this. And it just so happened to be that night. And so they got three of them and three hats. And she's like, oh, yeah, I've got one for you. What? I was like, so I wasn't expecting that. Like she's such an amazing friend. And so that was like a very, very awesome surprise yesterday. Because I had seen, you know, like we always see the Joby and Locker ones, and I've got my Tommy one. But this one is the counter, but I'm afraid to open the box. I'm like, do I open something like this, or do I keep? Like, I'm not one, you know, who collects things that's like, I'm going to retire off of this one day. Because that'll never happen.
Well, that's why most people get two if they can. One to keep in the box so it stays in mint condition forever.
I know.
And one to open so they can actually have fun with it.
Which I don't understand, like how people still do that when we look back at like all the toys that we played with in the 80s that are worth a shit ton now. I'm like, I don't think any parent at the time who is, you know, standing in line for a Cabbage Patch Kid was like, oh, well, I could barely get one, but I'm going to get two because maybe in so many years it'll be worth something, which is weird because I do have mine still, but not in the original packaging. But yeah, so I have this amazing counter, but I am like, I would never sell it. I mean, I know people who have already putting it on eBay and whatever. I'm like, I'm not that person, but I'm like, if I open Pandora's box, is it going to be a good thing? Or do I just leave it and not use the counter? But the counter's kind of cool. So I don't know. Maybe we'll just be like, hey, at this point, what else could go wrong? Let's just open it up and see what happens. Yeah, what a cool surprise. It totally made my day for sure.
You should post a picture of that sucker on the page.
I did. Yeah. Oh, wait, maybe
how
did it not
that?
Go? Did it
How
not?
The I hell did I miss that?
Yeah, no, I put it up there. Oh my God, did I miss? Maybe I didn't put on PowerPoint. How's that possible? Oh my gosh, I didn't. I just put it on my regular.
I'm looking through.
Okay, I'm going to do it right now.
I don't. Yeah, I missed it.
How is that
I
even possible?
I'm seeing all kinds of pictures, but not the bobblehead.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you tell me, you could look at it and be like, definitely post.
There's that stupid picture of me with the bag of Milano cookies.
Oh, I love that. Come on now.
Oh yeah. I guess I got some explaining to do there, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Well, there was more explaining that had to be done on the, with the wings the other night.
The wings?
Right. When you ordered buffalo wings.
Oh, that.
I did read what you said.
That stuff. Okay.
When
yeah,
I saw that,
yeah,
I was like, wow.
Oh, trust me. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Just in an effort to try and keep things fun. I don't see it. I don't know if it just got blocked or just dropped or what the hell happened. But yeah, I don't.
I'm going to put it up now. I'm sorry. You know what? I did
okay.
realize.
No, it's fine.
It went to just my regular Facebook page. Okay, there you go. It's there now.
Okay,
I
that's
the hat
cool.
On top of it, which I don't wear baseball caps because it looks stupid on me. But I'm like, but it's caps attire. But look at how cool that is. I mean, and then the sides of it say like, you know, number one draft pick in 2004, and it talks about his awards. Excuse me, on like the sides of the box and stuff. So I'm like, oh my God. But again, I haven't opened it because. Who knows what will happen?
you might want to. It sounds like the stuff on the box by itself is cool enough. So you may want to keep it in the box just for the hell of it, just to see how much it turns out to be worth later on.
I mean, my God, because I'm like as a teacher right now, the idea of having to continue this profession for like another 20, 25 years is like, oh, my God. But if someone was like, I would pay a shit ton of money for that Ovechkin bobblehead. Okay. Have it. Go. Yeah.
Yeah. For real.
Spelled my last name. K-N-O-S. I need to check out, too.
When you write the check. Yeah.
So that was the highlight. Obviously not the yesterday's game, but whatever.
Yeah. No, that was that. I did not know that you'd actually scored one of those. So yeah, that's very cool. All right. So the food stuff. So if you haven't been checking out the Facebook page, what we're talking about is, okay, so it started last week and we didn't get a chance to talk about it too much because we didn't really do a recap of any of the games except because there were too many of them, except for the Minnesota game. So we had our
guest host. Yeah.
We had, of course, we had our very special guest, Sammy on, but it started with the Buffalo game. And yeah, I got this idea in my head that I figure, okay, well, let's get some extra voodoo mojo going, whatever. By, you know, I used to do this thing that Bernie Diehl called yeast mode, the year of the Cap Stanley Cup run in 2018. And it was these stupid little stunts that I would do. One series I did something with the Blue Jackets and a blue drink, and then when they beat the Lightning, I chugged a bottle of Gatorade Lightning or something like that. So this was along the lines of that. But I got my inspiration for this from one of our newest members, John Blackburn, who a lot of you out there listening hopefully know him as one half of the Cap-tastrophes, that singing duo, husband and wife singing duo on Twitter. We've gotten a bit close as Twitter friends, hint, hint, and hope to see and hear a lot more from the both of them fairly soon here, hint, hint. He did the thing, I think it was against the Rangers, but he posted something on Twitter where he said I forget what he said he had besides the pecan pie, but it was a big barbecue sandwich or something of that nature and the pecan pie. And he thought his stomach was going to burst. And I saw that and I figured, why don't I go ahead and go back and do yeast mode or something like something crazy, but themed against the team that we're playing with. So the night of the Buffalo game, I ordered from Buffalo Wild Wings. And if you didn't see the Facebook post, I ordered a Buffalo chicken sandwich and some Buffalo flavored wings. And boy, did I pay for that later in more ways than one, but the Caps pulled out a win. So I thought, okay, I'm on to something here. And then the next game was against St. Louis, and St. Louis is known for their toasted ravioli. So Mrs. Blue Liner helped me out there by cooking up a batch of that and putting it in some homemade meat sauce. That game didn't work out. They lost that game. But we decided to roll with it. And the next game against Minnesota, she made something called hot dish, which is apparently big in the upper Midwest where she grew up, for the Minnesota thing. And that sucker has, roasted green beans, this homemade, meat and gravy sauce and tater tots on the top. And it's actually pretty good.
I was going to say, and if Jenny's making it, I'm sure it was outstanding. So yeah
it was. And but unfortunately, that game, of course, they lost also. So that brings us to the first game of the week that we're covering. That's the one against the Blue Jackets. And I looked up them. They're known for something called the Ohioan hot dog, where it's this big ass hot dog that's split in half, and they put relish mustard and something called corn relish on it, spicy corn relish.
Yum.
And I actually managed to find a jar of that.
Really?
Stuff. Awesome. Yeah. So I ordered a hot dog from Five Guys of all places, with bacon on it, just to give it kind of a DMV kind of accent to it. And I slapped some corn relish on that sucker after cutting it in half. And that's what you see in the picture. And they also do something out there called a Buckeye donut. And all it is basically is a chocolate covered donut with peanut butter on top.
Okay.
And I decided to eat that too. And yeah, I know I probably shouldn't be who I am with stuff that's going on with me, shouldn't be eating that kind of stuff, especially at my age. And yeah.
But you took one for the team.
But yeah, took one for the team. And that one, of course, looked like for a while they were going to win. They were in control of it. And then it got kind of wild, and then they went to overtime, and then
not so much.
And they ended up, well, they came away with a loser point, but yeah, that. The CBJ, as I'm pretty sure they are now, close to it anyway, the worst team in the league, and yeah, that one was a kick in the old gonads.
Yeah, I mean, the only plus was I got the bobblehead that night. I mean,
yeah, that was the celebration. That of course was the game where they celebrated Ovechkin passing Gordie Howe for with 802. So they had the pregame ceremonies for that.
Did you see Robbie Gross had a point, like anytime the Caps do have some sort of celebratory night, it seems like they start off with bang and then not. And I didn't really think about it. And then I was like, you know what? Maybe there's something to that they just, I don't know. I don't know if they Who knows? I don't know what it was. I mean, Stephanie said it was an amazing ceremony, but what happened? It's like you would think all the feels would be there to be like, we're going to do this. And it really felt like we were. And then we didn't. So,
well, I think what happened was they started out so great and they jumped out to a lead so big so early that they forgot to play the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. And they let them back in. And also, I don't know that I've ever seen them have some sort of ceremony like that and then end up winning the game.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what Robbie was saying, that anytime they have some sort of ceremony prior to dropping the puck, they don't usually win.
Yeah, the only one I can think of where they did win was when Backstrom got the 1,000 points and they had the apples.
Oh, and, right. Yeah.
And the one time, because they scored, Backstrom scored a goal or something like that, or something happened, and then they had these souvenir apples. Mm-hmm. With Backstrom's personal logo on it for the 1,000, and they all got thrown on the ice.
That's right. I do remember that. Yeah, but still, it's just weird that it coincides for me with when they have to play an afternoon game.
That's never a fun thing. The next game, which was the win, we're going to win against Chicago. We're going to make that our focus game. But not before I mention the fact that I went and decided for this one that I was going to go order from Pizzeria Uno, and decided to do the Chicago deep dish style pizza for this one. That one worked out because it was a 6-1 win. We'll go over the details on that one in a bit. And for last night's game, which I think will be the last one of these I do, because that didn't work out either. I decided to go in a bit of another different direction and do the Yingling Lager, which I didn't even finish.
That's probably why.
I love
Yingling.
Yeah, it's it's Pittsburgh, but it's also a bit of a sentimental thing because it was my good friend Becca Thomas, the Caps fan who passed away a few years mm-hmm. ago.
Yeah,
her favorite beer. So I figured I'd go with that one as well. But I was so that last period, I was watching the game so intensely, I forgot I even had the beer there. And yeah.
That doesn't ever happen to me, but.
Well, I mean, it was, think about it. They were down 3-0 to start the last period.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, like.
And it looked bad, and then they come back. Tommy starts the comeback, and then Ovechkin, and then Strome ties it. And it was just, I mean, it was a really magical run and just a little taste of what this team can do when they're focused and they're committed. And yeah, then the really, really bad thing happened.
And of all people, well, I don't want to say of all people, because it could have been Crosby. It could have been Letang, fucking Malkin.
Yeah, the guy that we all love to hate, and
Lurch.
Yes. Good name for him. Puts it away with 80 seconds left, and look, I'm not going to waste time by describing in detail what happened. If you saw the game, you know what happened. If you didn't see the game, It's still available for replay. Just go on Washington Capitals Twitter, and I'm sure you'll have an idea of what happened,
right?
And how things came to be, as it were. And we're not gonna delve into that, because I'm sure, like you and I were talking about before we went on just now, I'm sure there was a lot of venting going on last night among Caps fans, and I don't know if anybody else caught it, but I was actually on a Twitter space, which is an impromptu live verbal discussion in a Twitter room with Jeff Kravitz. And Jeff, we're hoping to have on here in a few weeks.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so he's another one of our new add-ons, but we've been Twitter friends for a while, and he's been a Caps fan for a while, and we had a nice long discussion about the game and what went wrong and what's gone wrong this season, and yeah, he's got some ideas about what the team needs to do. So I the plan long term is to have him on for the last week of the regular season to kind of do a post-mortem as we always do. So. Mm-hmm. So he'll be there for that. But let's get back to the Chicago game. Uh-huh. So we'll go over the scoring there. Connor Sherry made it 1-0 Caps, 10-15 in the third with his 14th. And like, before I go on, like everybody's opinions on whether or not what they should do with him, because I think everybody's kind of mixed. A lot of people want him to stay, and a lot are thinking, well, he might be better off somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, because does he fit in the long-term plans? Does he not? And I don't think there's really a consensus. So I want to hear from the listeners in some way, pardon me, whether how they feel about Sherry. I think he deserves a chance, but I'm also the same mind that, you know, maybe he can flourish with another team. I can see him fitting in with like a Minnesota or someplace like that, kind of like Mojo. They play the same style. So, you know, I
don't know. I'd like to give him a chance. I feel like he was awesome in the beginning, and then we didn't really hear much about him. There's a little less chirping and comments. And I think the last couple of games, whether it's because he realizes like, holy shit, I need to step up or do something or who knows what. We're kind of seeing the kind of Sherry that we saw before. And I'd like to give him a chance, but the one who scores about 15 seconds later is one that I could probably do without.
Yeah, and that was Mr. Mantha, who got his 11th of the year. 18 seconds later, as it turned out, gave, and that, ironically enough, that was the game-winning goal for that game.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's not enough at this point.
Irony of ironies, yeah, yeah. I know, but we're not going to get into a long discussion about that. Yeah. Ovechkin and Kuznetsov on the assist there. And then Nick Dowd in the second period got his 13th, made it 3-0 Washington. Alexei Protas with an assist on that one. Caps go to the power play a few minutes later. Backstrom gets his 6th of the year. Strome and Carlson on the assists. Was this Carlson's first game back? Columbus game?
It was the Columbus game.
Okay.
Because he also scored.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, he got... No, I think this one was his first game back. Let me double check. Let me see. Yeah, I should have known. No.
Sorry, you're right.
So it was the Chicago game because, he got the goal and the assist in this game, and he played... And we talked about it on Sports on the Hill. I didn't think that he should be getting too many minutes. Well, they had him out there just a hair over 20 minutes. I'll give him credit. He didn't look out of place. He didn't look like he lost that much of a step. You could tell he was still working on his timing with his shot mm-hmm. and his passing. But right. other than that, well, he didn't look too bad out there. Not this game anyway. And so, yeah, he gets his 9th, the first coming back on the power play, makes it 5-0. Blackhawks get one early in the third. Nikita Zaitsev, his first of the year. And then Captain strikes for his 41st, unassisted. to ice the game at 6-1. And I mean, yeah, Chicago's another one that's a bottom feeder in the league for sure. But this was definitely good for a confidence builder. And I think a lot of us were feeling pretty good after this game and heading into the next one, which was Pittsburgh. And, you know, finally they got, you know, they'd gotten everybody healthy back again. Then, of course, Milano went down before the next game. But, yeah, John Carlson was actually made first star of the game for this one. And I was pleasantly surprised. Like I said, he didn't look like he'd lost much of any sort of an edge. He looked like he was back in form.
And that's, to me, you know, I've got a huge amount of respect for a player like that, because he came back. He wasn't withholding. And, you know, it wasn't like, oh, maybe not. Didn't look tired. Looked like he had done what he could do training-wise while he was healing, if that makes sense. Like, he stayed with it. And I think that, you know, that's what the team needed. It would have been fantastic if they, you know, they could have put off the win, but whatever. We can't get into that, I know. Well, they pulled off this win, but you know what I mean. But like
the next game, yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, staying on this game, power play had four chances, converted on two of them. He factored in both goals. Mm-hmm. So obviously he's very, very important to the power play. So that was a big boost.
And seriously, good for him for scoring. Like, holy shit. Like, you know, yeah. I like moments like that, because I know there was a lot of doubters and a lot of, like, you know, we've already had this discussion, you know,
well,
way too many times. But look, I'm just saying, I have a respect level for a player, any player that can come back from an injury as horrific as what Carlson went through, and look like he hasn't missed much time, and he's able to come back and do what he needs to do and score. So I was glad to see that.
I was too, to be honest, and I have not changed much as far as my opinion on Carlson, unfortunately, as was seen on one of the goals from last night's game. He's still a liability. I'm sorry. But you get so much more. You get so much more from him than just playing defense or his attempt to do so.
Right.
But sometimes that doesn't outweigh the negatives.
Okay.
Now last night, I think, you know, it was the play I'm talking about was him trying to make a cross ice pass that went a bit awry and led to a turnover. And that I can sort of forgive. The stuff that really turned me against him happened in last year's playoffs and against Florida. That really magnified, you know, the problems that he had playing defense. And that's, unfortunately, that's not going to go away.
Right.
And realistically, they're not getting rid of him, because I don't think anybody's going to take that contract on. Not even with any sort of retention. So I guess what I'm hoping for is, you know, an Orlov-like resurgence from him for the remainder of his contract. And then and then he can retire. I think he's got like 3 years left. So.
Yes, because it was, didn't his contract come right after the cup?
Yeah, and
it was like 8 years or something.
So it was an 8-year contract, and I'm pretty sure this was his fifth year. I'm checking through Cap Friendly now. And yes, he is signed all the way through 2025-26. So after this year, at a cap hit of $8 million, he's on the team, barring a trade or some other act of God, maybe, I don't know. he's on the Capitals for those remaining 3 years. But again, obviously he contributes to the offense. And as they say, if you're scoring and you've got the puck, then the other team can't score because they don't have the puck. So I get that logic, but unfortunately he can still be a liability at times. So my thought is, okay, keep him on the power play units, but don't, and that's also why I'm hoping he gets less minutes, because I mean, and we talked about this on Sports on the Hill. Temporal artery.
Yeah.
When you have an injury that involves those two words.
TSS.
And I'm not being hyperbolic here. Temporal artery. You never want to hear any that as any part of any injury.
No. Oh my God, no.
So I think Carol was the only one who was saying, "Oh, let him play, let him play, let him play," and like, yeah, that's isn't always how it works, but
right.
You know, it worked out in the game he came back, and I don't think he had a bad game other than that turnover against Pittsburgh. I think he still had a pretty good game, and you know, he looks good, so. Yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna complain for right now. I'm just saying, look, you know, you're gonna have to take the good with the bad still, because he's only gonna get older, and that means he's very slowly gonna start to get worse than what he is. Now it's obvious they still need him, but
yeah,
you know, just saying, this is it's reality. So, okay, so time to address the elephant in the room. And that's the Caps playoff chances. I don't want to go into this too much either, but technically the Capitals have not been mathematically eliminated yet. But the loss against Pittsburgh was probably their best chance to get back in the race. And suffice it to say, time's running out and running out very quickly. Capitals have... 2-3-3. Okay, so they have 8 games left. And Pittsburgh has 9 games left. And I did some quick math, and Pittsburgh is going to have to lose at a minimum 4 of those 9 games, and lose. And I'm talking lose them outright.
Right, right.
In regulation, not go to overtime and get a point. They have to go 4 games at least without getting a point at all. And even if they do that, the Caps still have to win the majority of their games. They have 8 left. If they want a shot, they're going to have to win 6 of them. And here's their opponents coming up. Next week, it's the Islanders and Tampa Bay in a back-to-back, or a home road back-to-back. And that finishes the month of March. Week after that, it's back to Cap 1. It's another matinee against the Rangers that Sunday. And then Thursday up to Montreal. And then back home on Saturday night at Cap 1 against Florida. All of those games, except for Tampa and the Rangers, they should win, I would think. And then the last week of the season, back home Monday night against the Islanders. And then Boston, up to Boston in another home road back-to-back. And then they finish the season Thursday night, April the 13th, against the Devils.
Mm-hmm. It's just tough. I mean, we've seen them come out on top and kick ass against, you know, top opponents. But we've also seen them lose to the bottom of the bottom. And
yeah,
that's where, you know... fans can, we have a right to be frustrated, but that's just it. You know, we're fans, you're frustrated. You still support them. I still watch every game. I'm not going anywhere. You know, it's like, come on. And I just hope that people will ride this out. 'Cause it's not, you know, it's not like we've been consecutively awful for the last decade. It's like, yes, we got the cup and you know, let's look at, you know, things since then and changes that could be made, you know, over the before the next season starts. I don't know. I'm still going to watch. There's no reason not to.
I'm not giving up on the season per se, but I think it's realistic to, you know, start thinking more towards next year, and I'm hanging on to my optimism, but it's hang on.
It's hard.
I'll put it this way. The optimism I have left, I'm putting into next year.
Yeah.
I think this team has a very good chance to surprise and do a lot of good things next season. If they do some things right. And I'm not going to talk about all of that here. But if they make some certain moves, I think they've got a good shot at least, you know, maybe being something of a sleeper contender next year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, only the GM would just ask our opinion on PowerPoint.
Yeah, if only he would start listening to this little podcast of ours. Yeah.
Like, what the hell, Brian? Come on now.
Why not? Sure.
Why are you not listening to our opinions and our passion?
We've only got 10 watt power in a million watt world. Yeah, why not? But seriously, I mean, continue to watch the games. If you're you on the other side of the speakers, the earbuds, what have you, because as has been said, you learn as much, if not more, when you lose than you do when you win.
Uh-huh.
So you want to continue to be a better fan, which is what we always strive for. Continue watching this game. Look for tendencies that they have. Look for the things that they do right and what they do wrong. And it's like Sammy said last week. You know, watch them, especially when they have those battles in the neutral zone, in open ice and along the boards. Watch for that stuff and see how they play when they don't have the puck and when they do have the puck. Use this time to learn as much as you can about the game. And that's, I think that's what we as fans need to start doing so we can make, you know, a better and informed judgment and keep our voices nice and loud so that, you know, management and whoever can't drown us out and wants to, if they do want to listen to us, we'll still have a voice. Just make that voice more informed is what I'm trying to get at. And you can, and the best way to do that is to continue to watch the games. So, it may be hard to watch at times, but keep on watching the games. Keep on backing this team, and you know we will. It's been kind of a crummy season, but you know, you got, like I said, you got to take the good with the bad. So, So speaking of fans and new listeners and new supporters, we have one who just signed on to our Facebook page, and this is still Women's History Month, so it's the last week. Very special young lady by the name of Taylor Renee. And Anna, you happen to know her very well.
Yes.
And I understand she has a very interesting story worth telling with regard to the Caps. So I will let you go ahead and take care of that.
Ah, sure thing. So Taylor lives across the street from me, and her family has been just those kick-ass neighbors that you want to have. And, you know, her parents are amazing, and it's like, hey, do you have this? Can I borrow this? Can you look out for my place? And we do the same for them. And so they've been really, really fantastic people. And so I got a message from her mom asking if I could run over and get something for Taylor yesterday. And I had a chance to chat with her and hang out with her, which I love, because she's just like one of those people that is so easygoing and so fantastic. And she started to tell me how she has just become a fan of hockey. And I was like, oh, awesome. And she's like, yeah. She's like, and, you know, watching, you know, trying to watch some games and interested in becoming a Caps fan and all that kind of stuff. So we spoke a little bit about, you know, just the games and things that she had read about and questions that she had kind of thing. And I guess her best friend is a Caps fan whose boyfriend is a Flyers fan. So I'm like, well, that's interesting. And I said, it's, I don't know if that's easier to swallow than if he was a Pens fan, but either way, like, but anyway, so they're like really, you know, into hockey. So, which is really great. And she's like, I really want to go to a game and kind of figure out what's going on. And I was like, well, you know, your parents know, because they joked about me screaming during the Stanley Cup playoffs that, like, we can hear you across the street. And I was like, yeah, like, you know, well, I'll, you know, if you have any questions or anything I can help with, or if you want to, you know, watch a game or something like that. So she said, well, you know, did my mom ever tell you that I met Alex Ovechkin? Like, what? No. And she said, yeah, it was a couple of years ago. I guess she was going to a doctor's appointment and out by Tyson's, and there was like a sushi restaurant, and she had like some time to kill before her appointment. So she went in there and had something to eat, and she had happened to be on crutches, and she went out to her car, and it was in a handicap because she had, you know, she was on crutches, and here's Ovechkin's car. She didn't know. Had no idea who this guy was. But he had parked in the handicap spot, like in the crosswalk. Oh. And she couldn't, yeah, she couldn't get her door open. So she was like, oh, okay, this is a problem. Because, you know, like if this had happened and if you weren't on crutches, you'd be like, oh, fucking annoying. I'll go through the other side and, you know, gracefully go over the center console and get into my seat. But she couldn't do that. So she went back into the restaurant and said, like, hey, listen, there's this car out there. And she described it. And they're like, oh, like, that is Alex Ovechkin's car. She's like, I'm sorry, who? Like, who? Like, why do I care kind of thing? And they're like, we can't ask him. She's like, okay, well, I can. Who is he? Where is he? And I will. So she said she went over to him at the table. And I don't know who was with, you know, like she wouldn't know either because she didn't know who he was. But he was at this restaurant with, and there were people around. And, you know, of course, everyone's a little standoffish because I'm sure he was, you know, wherever he goes, people are going to approach him. And she just said, listen, I'm sorry. I parked here and your car's here. I need you to move it because I can't get in and I got an appointment. And she said he was, oh my God, like super polite. I'm so sorry. He went out, moved his car. And then he says to her, this is the, oh my God, like the fans who listen to the show are going to be like, oh my God. And she's like, okay, thank you. And he's like, I'm so sorry. I don't know. Do you want an autograph? And she's like, why? okay, I guess. I don't know who you are, but okay. You know, I don't think she said that to him, but she was just kind of like, why would I want your autograph? But okay. And like, he wrote something, you know, signed his name and whatever. And she went on her way and came back and she told her friend, who's the Caps fan. She's like, yeah, I don't know, Alex Ovechkin. And, you know, of course the friend's like, I'm sorry, what? But he signed something. So I was trying to tell her, I'm like, well, that's what the bobblehead. She's like, well, I saw the picture of the bobblehead. She's like, I just didn't know, you know, who he was. And she's like, but in that sense, we were like, you know, it's kind of cool that, like, she even said it could have gone two different ways. Like, he could have been a complete asshole and been like, you know, don't bother me, I'm Alex Ovechkin. Or could have been like, I am so sorry. Let me, you know, that was wrong of me. And that's who he was. And I was like, you know, that's the kind of stuff as a fan, like you want to hear like the cool stuff out of the rink. But when she said that yesterday, I was like, you just gave it away. She's like, oh, I didn't know who he was. And so, yeah, so we have plans to, I think it's a week from today. I think it's the Rangers game at like one in the afternoon. We're going to watch it together. And she decided to join our Facebook page, which is fantastic. So Taylor and I are going to be rooting from across the street next week.
Very, very cool. So, yeah. So we have not only a fan of the team, but hopefully potentially a fan of the podcast, thanks in no small part to Alex Ovechkin.
Right.
And because he righted a wrong, admittedly a wrong that he did, but he fixed it as best as he could. And that's, look, it all goes to show, look, you know, these are still, these guys, yeah, they're not getting the job done in the standings this year, but at heart, you know, like Sammy Silber was saying last week, you know, at heart, they do the best they can and they're good people at heart. So that's really what it comes down to and why we should all still support this team. Good on Taylor, and hope to have her grow in the fandom of the game and everything she does. So that's an awesome story. So just want to throw one last thing out there before we wrap it up for this week about that. So being Women's History Month, if you're listening and it is before late evening on the 26th, I want to remind everybody that tonight at 9 o'clock, the Premier Hockey Federation, which is one of the two women's professional hockey leagues, is having their Isabel Cup final. And the Isabel Cup, of course, their championship. Isabel, why is it called the Isabel Cup? Because Isabel was Lord Stanley's daughter. So,
I didn't know that. That's really cool.
Yep. And she was actually a hockey fan. She was out there with her dad and her brothers playing the sport when they first discovered it in the winter carnivals in what was then the Dominion of Canada. Mm-hmm. And of course, Lord Stanley was the Governor General of Canada at the time. And he was the one, of course, that created the Stanley Cup to celebrate the top team in all of hockey in Canada at the time. Well, his daughter was as big a fan as he was of the sport. So when the league created their trophy, they named it after her. So now, you know, now you've had that history lesson. they're having their championship tonight. It's the Toronto Six against the Minnesota Whitecaps. I've always loved the Minnesota Whitecaps. Always been a fan of them, not just because they're the Caps, haha. they got a lot of good players on their team, and I love the way they play. So I'm rooting for them tonight. That starts at 9 Eastern. It's going to be on ESPN2 tonight for anyone interested in watching. And I think it's going to be a real good game. They have a one-game series. It's not a series. It's a one-game playoff for the Cup itself. So tune in for that, and hope you catch that. I think it'll be a game worth watching. So, all right, we're going to stop it here, and keep the faith, Caps fans, and hopefully you'll all hang on to that faith. Anna, I think you had also one last announcement you wanted to make. Let our listeners know.
I know. So this will actually be my last show of this season, which is crazy. But I have spring break coming up, and a friend's coming to visit from California over the next couple of weeks, and I'm so excited about that. So I am happily going to give my airtime to Cheryl Ann Forrester, which I appreciate her stepping in. So this is my last one, but it's not like you won't see me or hear me or whatever on our Facebook page during the games.
Yep, and fear not, the mermaid isn't going anywhere. She will
be ready
to rock come next season.
Exactly.
Well rested and ready to go for that. So that's not a problem. We're just letting everyone know ahead of time because she's got some plans, and this season's been kind of rough on a lot of us. And it's sometimes good to take some extra time, and she's been planning this for a while. So just wanted to let everybody know that a slight lineup change, but only temporarily.
Yeah.
But the full crew will be ready to go for next year. No problems here. We're still going to go at it in time for 2024. So you're not. All right. So for the Mermaid Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that I once held a job at an Indian restaurant, and they were so protective about their flatbread, their special flatbread recipe, that they made me sign a legal agreement that I wouldn't share it. It was a non-disclosure agreement.
Mm. Oh, sorry, Gal. Was it like season 6 for us?
Eh. Can't blame a guy for trying.
No, you can't.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conklin.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.